We are going to be talking to Joe Vranich. And if you've ever thought about fleeing the state of California, he's your guy.
And he's not a moving man. No. Joe, you got to hand it to Joe. I mean, I email a lot of people about the show.
So do I, and some and never get back to you.
Yeah, it takes forever to hear from people. I mean, email right back, which was awesome. And then I started reading his bio. I just read an article, and I thought it was really interesting, thought people would like to hear more. And then I find out, holy cow, Joe, I'll read right out of his bio. He's an executive coach consultant with clients located throughout the United States. Been a guest many times on ABC, BBC, C-SPAN, CBS, keep going, Fox News. I just saw a video that we'll post for everybody on Varney & Company. He was on there talking about what's going on in the state of affairs, especially in California for business. Done a lot of testifying in Congress and all sorts of neat stuff. So apparently we've made the connection, and Joe's on the line.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Wow, we checked out your website after the, isn't it funny how you hear from somebody and you go, hey, this is going to be a neat guy, and then I look at all the stuff, I'm like,
oh my God,
man, we only have him on for a little while.
And we're excited that we can now add ourselves to your list. Wow. We've made the big time.
Right up there with Stuart Varney.
I don't think so.
Spectrum Location Solutions. That's the name of your company. And I read actually and listed in the links on our website is your blog. That's where I read the article. I thought it was awesome. So what do people need to know about what's going on in California?
Yeah, which apparently I am the only person in California. What's our population? Something like 38 million people.
Yeah.
Apparently I am the only one who has made an effort to track the number of companies leaving the state. And the reason I did that is I work in the relocation business. I have companies calling me to say we need your help in site selection and finding a less expensive, friendlier place to be. And I know I get those calls, but some would say, well, Joe, your experience is anecdotal. Well, I can also say that nobody calls me to move into the state. Only
that was my next question.
Yeah. So I got tired of seeing politicians in Sacramento, especially the big spenders, say, hey, you know, this is all an exaggeration. We really aren't losing much at all. So I started doing a tracking system, and last year 254 companies left the state, which is higher than the year before, which is a lot higher than the year before that. And every sign is that as Sacramento remains hostile to commercial enterprises of all types, that the moving vans continue to carry people and machinery and desks and so forth out of California to a whole bunch of different other states.
Hey, now, Joe, when you do your studies and your statistics, do you, in addition to determining the number of jobs lost when companies leave the state of California, do you look at the ancillary jobs as well?
No, and as a matter of fact, I'm not even in a position to calculate the number of jobs lost,
okay,
nor can I calculate the negative economic impact, because my way of doing this is to look at only public domain information. So something has to be in a newspaper, on some radio program, blog somewhere, in a press release. And I do that on purpose because it's impossible for politicians to deny the accuracy of my report when it's printed right there.
That's a good idea.
In a newspaper or on the internet. And those reports don't contain the kind of real detail that you would get if somebody were to go out and do a serious economic study of what our losses in California really are.
Well, the thing that kind of blew my mind, I was looking on your website, and it was the client list. I mean, I was kind of looking. I'm like, oh, what does this guy do anyway? So I clicked on here, and here's this, I don't know how many are on this page, but it says the following representative sample excludes clients desiring confidentiality. So that means there's more of them. I'm looking at aerospace, big guys like Lockheed, computers, big guys like AT&T, IBM, consumer products, Colgate, Johnson.
Oh, look at all the manufacturers.
Tons of manufacturers. You've got, Chrysler Financial, Capital One, Advanta, Wachovia, and then I like food and beverage. I was like, I forgot about those guys. Bacardi, General Mills, Guinness, one of my favorites. you know, transportation, all sorts of people. You've worked with a ton of different types of companies.
Yes, I have. And like, and you pointed out, the ones that are covered by non-disclosure agreements are not mentioned at all. I do want to issue a caveat here. Not all of them have anything to do with California. For example, I'm helping a company move from Illinois to Tennessee. So, you know, if the company gives me permission at some point to add their name to the list, they would be on that list even though they have nothing to do with California. The surprising thing is most of the companies not listed happen to be California companies, if for no other reason than my business has migrated to such an extent that that is where the emphasis happens to be these days.
Yeah, and my point in bringing that up is that at the end of the day, you're not a guy, you know, working out of a spare bedroom in your house in your slippers who deals with, you know, small contractors in a local area. I mean, you deal with big companies. You've testified before Congress and a bunch of committees. So you get around.
Actually, I do help the small outfits. I've helped companies with as few as 10 employees. Because for one thing, being in business for myself for 24 years now, I really associate with the pain that a small business owner has, and I look for a way to do the job, you know, faster for them, which is easier to do because they're not a big corporation. So the price tag for advice and services and so forth comes in lower than for the big companies, as it should be anyway for a small outfit. The interesting thing is there was an outfit that moved the other day. It was not a client of mine. I saw this in the newspaper. They moved from Palmdale to a place up near Carson City, Nevada, so they crossed into a income tax-free state. They had only 10 employees. I'm sorry, they had only 9 employees, and 8 of them made the move.
Oh, wow.
So that shows you can get a high percentage of people who want to leave. As a matter of fact, let me share with you a new phenomena. That is, there are now some cases where employees get wind that the company might move, in one case to Texas. The one by one, employees came in to see the boss, closed the door, and asked that the company move to Texas.
Wow.
And the reason why, it's like, well, I want to get my kids out of the Los Angeles school system. Or, you know, my husband and I live in an apartment here, and for what we pay here, we can afford to buy a nice house in Texas. Or, you know, the company is growing, but I know you're not going to grow here. I love this company. I want to stay with it. I'll move no matter where you go. And if you move to someplace that's cold and icy, I'll get used to it.
Wow, that's crazy. So I was going to ask you, and that's kind of a nice caveat into, you know, you've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years, so you've seen economic cycles and you've worked with, I mean, underneath different administrations, as we've all lived under different administrations. And if you were to forecast, let's just say, the next 5 years for the state of California, what would you venture a guess to be?
I can see it getting only worse, unfortunately. And before I do that, let me just say there, I think I should point out the reasons companies leave and then build on that to just answer your question briefly. The top three reasons companies leave are taxes are high, regulations are awful, and there's this excessively adversarial attitude in government agencies in California. Well, if you're a profitable company, the taxes are your number one factor. But if you, let's say you're in a money-losing situation, the cost of compliance with regulations are so high that regulations are your number one factor. So it varies depending on what condition your company is in. The third reason always is I can't stand discussing our issues with a government agency in California because we pay our taxes, we do our best to follow the rules, we pick up the phone, we call them, and California treats every conversation with us as adversarial. Having said all that, I see no signs that any of that is improving. As a matter of fact, we have cap and trade coming in, which means the state of California has managed to figure out how to tax thin air.
Yeah, nothing.
Even the Roman Empire didn't know how to do that. And they taxed everything. So with new regulations coming on, new fines, new fees, the potential for higher taxes, as you know, what's going to be on the ballot later this year, here's what I'm now saying. I think the exodus will increase. Basic reason. Right now, if you run a business in California and we help you move to another state, you can save at least 20% of your costs by moving. If you move to a small area in a tax-free state like Texas or something, we could save you about 40%, sometimes
wow.
45%. Within a year or two, that 20% savings could go up to 25%, and that, let's say that 45% savings could actually go up to 50%. And I know a guy who moved his company from California to Colorado. His facilities cost alone dropped by 50%. So with all of these factors in play, and with the statistics looking the way they are, and with the attitudes in Sacramento being what they are, I regret to say I'm pessimistic about what I now call the formerly golden state.
Yeah, it's looking kind of like the cheesy gold that's over silver. It rubs off. Or it comes out of a squirt can. So many bad things. We need to take a swift break here and thank our advertisers. We will be right back with Joe Vranich. This is going to be a great hour. I hope you call a friend and tell them to tune in. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I guess happiness was Lubbock, Texas, and my rearview mirror. But now happiness is Lubbock, Texas, growing nearer and dearer. And the vision is getting clearer in my dreams. And I think I finally know just what it means.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Say it again. The music has everything to do with this show.
Well, not everything.
Pretty darn
everything
close.
Everything.
The guests help.
You're all that in a second shift, Bob. Just say thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Jump on the chat room, wethepeopleradio.us, or give us a call, 530-605-4567, but definitely check out the webpage. Everything about today's guest you will find there, and feel free to send it out to everyone you know.
Super interesting. We're speaking with Joe Vranich.
All right, Joe, talk to the folks. What do they need to know? Because, you know, I can hear somebody out there going, well, he's just talking about people moving out of California so he can have work. You would let people move into California and help them do that if they wanted to, wouldn't you?
Hey, and do you see trends?
Well, hey, wait a minute. What about my question?
Okay.
Elizabeth just blew me off.
I'm sorry.
Well, to take the first question.
We need you for more than an hour, Joe.
We're having a press conference.
Do I see people moving in? Let me tell you, I do. I'm more than happy to help somebody move into the state. And let me tell you a quick story about what I call the U-turn effect. A company located in another state wanted to move here lock, stock, and barrel, 300 people. And the reason why is the top executives can afford the California lifestyle. They wanted to buy these very expensive homes along the beach and blah, blah, blah. So they came to me and they had me do this little study of comparing California costs to where they are now. And it's everything from taxes, the unemployment compensation rate, all of these different things. So I sent them the first report, and they were kind of shocked. Well, they weren't kind of. They were very shocked at how much more expensive it would be. So they made the decision, okay, we're not moving 300 people. We're going to move 70 and leave a big back office in the other state. So now my study goes into deeper questions like, you know, okay, how much might rent be for a facility at this large and blah, blah, blah. They looked at those comparative figures. And we're stunned again, and they said, okay, we're only going to move the top executives and their support staff here, about 30 people. So the next study came in, and guess what? They made the decision, nobody's coming to California. They're staying where they are. So this is something that can't even be calculated. Business people know this is what's called an opportunity cost. There's no politician, no state agency, nobody who could put a value on the number of companies that did not come here because in most cases, nobody knows about it.
That's totally true. And that's what, you know, that's what you hear all the time. And I don't know about you in the southern part of the state, but up here, we hear all the time. People say, I would move if I could, you know. But, but I'm living on, you know, my family, a lot of people, living on my family's ranch. I'm fifth generation, this and that. And people are want to hold on to their heritage, really. I mean, they can't move their land.
Well, people are leaving from all parts of the state. There's something called net domestic migration, and in that category, California is actually losing population. Now, just so I don't confuse anybody, California is gaining in population when you consider that births outnumber deaths and when you consider people that move here from international locations. But if you look at just But if you look at just Native Americans, people like me, I was born here. This is my native country. I have no other place to go to. Within the last 10 years, we've lost more than 1 million people. We've lost more than the population of some of our cities. And the number one place that these people are going to are Texas, Arizona, Nevada. The exodus to Oregon has dropped off because they've now instituted some California-style taxes, and bang, they fell off the moving screen pretty fast. So we are losing people.
Joe, how many are moving to, for instance, Utah, Colorado, Idaho?
North Dakota for jobs?
How far are they moving?
Oh, they're literally, there are moves to every state. And the IRS has real data. These are not estimates, but they publish real data showing how when people change their addresses, where they go to, and it's county by county. There's even an interactive map on the internet. You could click, let's say, San Francisco, which is a county. Click on it, and it'll show you every county in the country that 10 or more people move to. It's really a phenomenal thing. So the question is, how many of those are because of job moves? And that we don't know. But I do know for sure that people have moved to every state in significant numbers.
And if you think about the increase in population, for instance, based on births, like you mentioned, you know, those are not tax-paying citizens. So,
that's correct.
I think our tax base is moving. I mean, the people that possibly have the ability to help fund the state government.
That's right. There's a reporter in Texas who is driving on the interstate, and he was behind a trailer truck or a flatbed truck that had two Lamborghinis on it with California license plates. And then it was kind of clear they were moving, if not to Texas, they were moving someplace east of Texas, and they left California. And then there was people following that also with California plates and a BMW or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he actually did a story about how the people who are fleeing California seem to be the wealthiest people. And that's just a common sense conclusion to reach, because we do have our tax, we're known as the worst tax state in the country when you count all of it together, income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, even
which
though our
is,
property taxes.
Yeah, and which
are,
is why we're paying, a dollar more a gallon for gas here than all the other states.
The good part is, though, you can still drink a 32-ounce soda if you want to, because Mayor Bloomberg hasn't gotten Jerry Brown to sign on to that one.
Yeah.
Because it won't be a citywide thing. It'll be a statewide thing here.
It's true that we have the highest gas taxes in the country, and you would think that somebody would look at that and say, hey, this also hurts our businesses. But apparently, I don't know, I'm probably speaking in an echo chamber, but it seems like Sacramento just doesn't care.
Care, mm-hmm. care. That was the echo chamber.
Yeah,
there is an element of that. Like, Mary, I don't know if you... Well, I bet you did. I bet you saw it. Mary Nichols, insert your own phraseology there. The gal at the California Air Resources Board cut off the quote-unquote public meeting the other night because people were just too negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just too negative. So, you know, we're just going to be done here. We just can't take all the negativity.
Oh, and, of course, those public meetings all have armed guards.
Yeah, I love the armed guards. That's my favorite part. And, you know, that, how about this? Bob, should we take a swift break so that we're actually back on track? Because when we come back, interestingly enough, hour one and hour two today sort of dovetail. We had Senator Doug LaMalfa on in the first hour, and he was talking about high-speed rail, the debacle of the century. Interestingly enough, our guest Joe Vranich is connected to that as well, but we'll tell you about that when we come right back. See you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
In California?
Yeah.
Well, that phone is
great. That's the employer talking to the state in this case.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, let's clarify that. It's not the job we don't like. It's the
I'm not
the
about to walk out of the studio for good.
You all of a sudden you hear
that. Another great choice, Bob. So we're talking to Joe Vranich.
Yeah.
And he helps businesses relocate. Right now, it's all the trend to relocate out of California, which I'm sure is coming to as a tremendous surprise to most of our listeners.
And just know that a lot of these neighboring states, if you do pack your car and drive in, make sure that you take your license plate off immediately, the one that says California.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told. Yeah. They don't want to hear
it's
about
like,
it.
It's like, hey, you guys are jamming us up. You messed up your state. Don't come here and mess up ours.
That's right.
So, Joe, talk to us about your connection to high-speed rail. You shot me an email about that, and I thought that was fascinating.
Sure, I'd be happy to. When I found out that Senator LaMalfa was going to be on your show, I thought, oh, my gosh, I better volunteer to them the fact that I have another distinction, I guess is the word, and that is I'm the former president of the International High-Speed Rail Association, the author of the book Super Trains, which had a foreword by Tom Clancy and was praised by President Clinton. It's a pro-train book, and it actually argued in favor of high-speed rail in California. After looking at the plans issued by the California High-Speed Rail Authority, I've done a 180-degree turn. I now have publicly labeled this the worst planned high-speed rail system that I've seen anywhere in the world, and I've ridden on virtually every high-speed rail line in the world except the new and newest ones in China.
Really?
I've interviewed presidents of high-speed rail companies or state entities overseas, and I've never seen anything as poor as the California plan. It has no credibility whatsoever, and California voters were duped in 2008 into voting for Proposition 1A, to pass $9 billion in bonds, because the program we have now does not represent what the voters were led to believe. It's downright shocking what has happened with this program.
So what do you think the chances are of shutting it down?
Well, there's been some thought that it would be shut down because it would be violating the California Environmental Policy Act, but now Governor Brown apparently wants to try to exempt the project from at least some or many of the environmental laws. And I want to say to Governor Brown, who do you think you are? These laws, whether for good or for bad, have come about after extensive debate over many years. These laws have held up highway projects. They've held up expansions of factories that would create jobs. They've even held up where you can put a restaurant in certain cases. So now you're going to come in and say this huge infrastructure project, which is not needed, that's going to go from San Francisco all the way to L.A., you're going to exempt them from what they do to neighborhoods? You're going to exempt them from what they're going to do to prime farmland? You're going to exempt them from the noise pollution they will create going through the middle of Burbank at like 180 miles an hour. By the way, trains running that fast make a lot of noise. A lot of people don't realize that. It's not necessarily from the rails. It's from the wind resistance. So Governor Brown is leading us into a very slippery slope here in trying to do anything to exempt these people from laws.
Now, Joe, Senator LaMalfa was talking about, I think that the figure he gave was $300 million that's already been invested. $600 million that's been invested in this project, and yet no ground has been broken. Do you have any kind of an idea of exactly how deep the bureaucracy is that has been developed around this project so far and how many jobs that means?
Well, the bureaucracy itself is at the High-Speed Rail Authority actually is pretty small. For a while, they had only 10 employees. I think they're up to about 25 now. But what they do is they manage engineering firms who do all kind of work on a project management basis. I have no idea how many hundreds of people are at work for these engineering firms, and if they're going up and down the state, they're meeting with people, they're doing this, they're doing that. And but I think Senator LaMalfa's figure of $600 million is correct.
I'd like to know what happened to $600 million.
Well, I believe there are investigations that are warranted into these engineering firms. Some of the firms, and I don't want to be using names here, but some of the firms that have contracts with the authority are the same firms that worked on other projects in the United States where there were huge cost overruns, like the highway project in Boston known as the Big Dig, the BART extension to San Francisco Airport. These are the same companies responsible for those incredibly cost overrun projects, and these are the same people working on California high-speed rail.
Hey, well, we mentioned it in the first hour, but we might as well tie it to your segment. Parsons Brinckerhoff currently holds a nearly $200 million contract with the authority and prepared the most recent rail business plan, which outlines a system that's smaller, slower, and twice the price of the high-speed rail project promised to the voters in 2008. And interestingly enough, that the guy that is the executive from this contractor, fascinating. He's just been hired on the rail authority.
Yeah, that's the new boss.
Yeah, the new,
he's the new CEO.
Yeah.
If this isn't a shocking revolving door story, I don't know what is. By the way, Parsons Brinckerhoff is owned by a company in England. So when Governor Brown talks about creating jobs in California with this program, keep in mind some jobs might be here, but the profits are going to England.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, and the High-Speed Rail Authority has talked about, well, we might have an arrangement with China. Well, they'll loan us the money, and we'll buy their trains. Oh, great. So Chinese employees will be working in China on trains that are headed for California. And because of environmental laws, we've had to close down cement plants in California. And guess where more of our cement comes now than ever before in our history? From China. So excuse me, Governor Brown, you'll be creating jobs all over the world.
Except here.
Not just in California.
It's just such a scam. And that's when I read your note that you were, I mean, you didn't tell me half of this, and obviously it was an email, so who wants to type that much info, but, you know, that you were an advocate for high-speed rail and then took a look at this plan and said, wait a minute, not this plan. I think that is stunning. I didn't know you'd ridden on all of them, too.
Well, most of them. The thank goodness for the Reason Foundation, which is headquartered down in Los Angeles, because they engaged me and another fellow named Wendell Cox, and we put together in 2008 a report called the Due Diligence Report on California High-Speed Rail, because basically no due diligence has been done on this so-called business plan the way it would be in the private sector. And what we found out was their predictions on ridership were so high that this would be the most popular high-speed rail line in the world, if you believe their figures. Their operating speeds for the trains were so high that this would be the fastest high-speed train in the world, if you can believe them. And it went on and on, and they claimed, oh, this system will not need subsidies, which is what voters were told in 2008. And our study predicted that they will, they'll need anywhere between $3 and $4 billion a year to subsidize these trains once they're operating. This is one of the biggest frauds to come down in railroad history since the robber baron days.
Good Lord. Well, it's hard to know if we should call it high-speed rail brought to you by Marvel Comics. You know, it's it's faster, brighter, shinier, cheaper. Or if we should, you know, call it the Cheerio line, since it's all going to go to Britain.
Who does he think he is, John Galt?
I guess we could use some kind of Chinese metaphor, but we could call it the Chopstick Express, I guess. That's another good option. Maybe we should have a contest.
Your reference to John Galt is excellent. For those listeners who aren't familiar, that's the character in Atlas Shrugged, and how the railroads were operated in such a perverse manner by the government back then. That's what we have here in California.
Yep.
Ann Rand, the author of Atlas Shrugged, must be rolling in her grave seeing what's happening with California high-speed rail.
It is exactly like that. And actually, on the chat room, we were bantering back and forth about maybe, since you relocate businesses, if you actually have found Galt's Gulch. And for those of you who haven't read Atlas Shrugged, shame on you, for one. Mm-hmm. And get with it on another. It's 1,300 pages. And before the second part of the movie comes out in October, you better read the book. But, you know, honestly, if there is a Galt's Gulch anywhere, I mean, we're going. We want to go. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
We just can't find it, so we're counting on you. We actually have had Don Shulman held hostage on the phone.
He is no longer on the line.
We blew Don Shulman off.
Sorry,
he was on
Don.
His way into the studio, so he'll stick his head in the door and ask us his question. But we're right in the middle of high-speed rail. We couldn't stop.
I'm not sure where he is en route to the studio, but after we take a break here, if he wants to call back, he's welcome to.
Yeah, but he'll be here. He's got his people for the next show are already here. Where is he anyway? Better tell him to hurry up and drive fast. Maybe he can get a ticket like I did a couple weeks ago. I'm still bitter about that, by the way. Have to pay $225 to the state that includes a court fee, and then I have to pay an extra $70 court fee if I want to go to traffic school. Like, what the heck? I think the only thing that's going to work out is that I have lifetime membership in whatever it is, online traffic school 24/7 or whatever. That was my only good investment there. All right. How about this? Let's take a really swift break. We're going to come back with Joe, and he's going to give us whatever he wants to tell us about. We've hit all the things we wanted to talk about. Joe, the next 15 minutes is yours when we come back. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be back with Joe Branich here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Them politicians treat me like a mushroom, 'cause they feed me bull and keep me in the blind. Now won't you tell me if you can, 'cause life's so hard to understand.
Here at We the People, we often blow off the callers, but then if they come in the studio, they get to ask their questions,
and
so it's good to show up.
And they get to put headphones on.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, so I can look like Mickey Mouse.
There you
we
go.
We like it.
I find your guest extremely interesting and very timely.
Yeah, an
very
hour
timely.
Is not enough.
I have a couple comments I'd like to make. I'm finding most people who move out of California want to come back. They miss it, even with all the negatives. It's either the weather or our culture. It's like Shasta County. There's a lot here. We're like we're just like a composite of everything in the state.
Except the bad stuff. We have mostly good stuff.
The other thing I wanted to say was that...
when they look at their balance sheet, do they still miss it?
Yeah, they do, because they don't have it anyway. But the thing that's very interesting is that these politicians begin to think they're omnipotent. They're making decisions for us. They think that what they say is right, whether we vote for it or not. It reminds me of Plato's Republic. If you've read that, where the state makes all the decisions and this whole thing, and I want to thank your guests for stirring up the old mental juices for me.
Thanks. So Don will be back with the Don Shulman Show at 10 o'clock, where he talks about really fun stuff.
You do?
Yeah, I don't get to talk much about politics, so that's why I had to throw Plato and everything in there.
We're going to infiltrate
his show,
though.
For you.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Glad we could stir your mental juices.
There you go. That's kind of a bad visual. But
So Joe, if you were a citizen in the state of California or business, I know. I'm speaking hypothetically to everyone out there.
I'm so sorry.
So what would you say to them? Hang in there. It's going to get better. Or run while you can.
It all depends on your personal situation. There are people, for example, he was right, there are some people who leave the state and come back, but that's driven more by the fact that they have family here. Somebody who's an older fellow, for example, who moved from L.A. to Northern Virginia when Northrop Grumman moved their headquarters there a year and a half ago, his children and his grandchildren are here, so he's going to come back. So that does happen. However, what also happens is I've had clients tell me things like, one guy who moved to Colorado grew up in Huntington Beach. He's a surfer dude kind of guy. He's actually quite a lot of fun. And I called him after his move, and I said, hey, how are things going? And he said, Joe, we love it here. Our kids are in schools. Their teachers email us almost every day. We love the Four Seasons. And I says, well, what about Huntington Beach? You grew up there. Don't you miss it? And he said, you know what? I'll never go back. Astounded me. I met a married couple who left also, just by complete quirk, Huntington Beach and moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was talking with them, and with no inducement from me whatsoever, they said, oh, we'll never go back. We love it here. And I said, but what about the snow? And so, oh, we don't care. We've met great people, blah, blah, blah. And she was all enthusiastic. So it all depends on your personal situation and your outlook on life.
Isn't that always about the way of it? But it's true. A lot of us have older parents here. Like
we do.
My mom, you know, they're in their 70s and they live in the Bay Area and they don't get any information about any of this. They live in the absolute media bubble of the universe, I think. And so they think everything's fine.
You know? By the way, I have to... I have to compliment you on your choice of music.
I know, isn't Bob awesome?
The working man song that you just had on is the perfect segue into how what I want to say next. I want to get back to California high-speed rail. There's a new poll out that's out just yesterday by the Los Angeles Times, and it shows that California voters have buyer's remorse. And they've turned against the project. This is now the second or third survey to show this, but this is by far the biggest one. 55% of California voters want the bond issue back on the ballot, and 59% say they would vote against it. But here's the really extra fascinating thing in this story is organized labor has been among the biggest supporters of the project, but 56% of union households would now reject the state funding plan.
Oh, no kidding.
So why has this project, which did win a vote in 2008, why is it now, in the voters' view, something to be, disdained? I think there are several things that happened. First of all, I'd like to think that the report that I joined in on that was issued in 2008 by the Reason Foundation, the due diligence report, that turned out to be so credible that it stood the test of time very well. When we said, when we came out with our ridership projections, people said, oh, no, you're wrong. When we came out with our cost projections, the state officials at the authority said, oh, no, you're incorrect, you're too pessimistic. Well, as time has gone on, all of our so-called dire predictions were actually conservative. The situation today is even worse than what we predicted in 2008, and a lot of people have taken notice of that. Moreover, there have been studies like by UC Berkeley that pointed out, hey, this train is not going to have the environmental benefits that they claim it will. The GHG reductions, you know, greenhouse gas reductions, they're going to be nowhere near what the train proponents claim they're going to be. Then the authority says, oh, our trains are going to operate without a subsidy. And yet the Federal Railroad Administration in Washington, D.C. has a study which basically says, oh, yes, it is going to require subsidy because look at all the trains like this around the world that receive subsidies. So now the drumbeat has begun. People like Senator LaMalfa, God bless him, with his proposal to put a new bond issue on the ballot, he's making an impact. Editorials all up and down the state are just denouncing this project. For every one editorial in favor, I don't know, there's got to be 8 or 10 that are opposed. And therefore, I think we have a true groundswell of public opinion that once people finally realized how they got hoodwinked, they're wanting to take action. And by the way, one other thing, if listeners want to know more, they can go to Assemblywoman Diane Harkey's website. She's got a little thing there called California High-Speed Rail, Separating the Myth from Reality. That's a link to click. And the beautiful thing about Diane Harkey's article here is she compares what was promised in 2008 with the reality today on, it's only about 8 or 10 pages long. But once you read that, you realize we really have been hoodwinked.
It is stunning that they, you know, the thing that's funny that I've noticed about the California legislature in general and some of the legislators in particular is that they cling to these ideas and they actually, I ask the senator all the time about some of the stupid bills they pass. And I say, well, when they're actually on the floor talking about, I guess I should tune into the Cal Channel. I guess I'm busy representing people who are being crushed by the government, so I don't have time to do that. But I got to watch some of these hearings myself. But I ask him, what do they say? Like, are they sincere about it? Do they just laugh up their sleeve? Do they just say,
do they really believe in it?
Like, we're going to pass it anyway. What are you guys going to say about it? I mean, he said some of them, honestly, they truly believe this stuff, and they live in an alternate universe. In my opinion, I mean, they just no connection with reality, no connection with what it's going to do to the people in the state. I don't even understand that.
You know what it's going to do to the people in the state? I think that's a perfect way for me to wrap this up and tie together businesses leaving with high-speed rail. I talked earlier in the program about how high taxes in California basically were the worst in the country on most indices, except in a couple of cases were tied with New York and New Jersey, nothing to be proud of. But that's existing taxes. The future tax increases are going to hit businesses in a number of ways. Businesses are going to be expected to bail out the unemployment insurance fund, which most Californians don't even know is insolvent right now by about $10 billion. We have excessive borrowing from the disability insurance fund. Now, with high-speed rail, we'll have future bond-carrying costs that hits the Treasury of about $900 million to $1 billion every year. The only way the governor and the legislature can afford to pay for all this is to increase taxes. Who are they going to increase increase taxes on the most? Businesses. So I say this high-speed rail program alone will create a financial albatross, another one, on businesses in California that will only serve to motivate more to leave because they have to leave if they want to save their business.
And that's just what we need. We need more people to leave so there's fewer jobs available, less revenue.
It's going to be really interesting.
I mean, that's going to help everybody.
You know, when this thing really comes to a head, it's going to be interesting to see
the government employees start to feed off of each other, because anybody in the private sector, anybody with a business, anybody with a brain will be long gone.
Exactly. Hey, we only have 30 seconds left. We've got to say bye to Joe. Joe Vranich, guys. I hope you hit the website and check out his webpage. It is awesome. Thank you, Joe. Have a
glad
great
to be
one.
Here. Thank you.
Hey, folks,
thanks.
We'll see you at the Spotted Owl meeting if you're in Reading tomorrow, 3 to 5 or 6 to 8 at the Convention Center. Check out the website. Next week. See ya.
Let's roll, America. There's a battle to be won.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, special guest Joe Vranich. And thank you, America.